Hello, this is Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. And as promised last time, we're going to look at our second part of our message that we had entitled, Had Adam Never Sinned? Last time we explored what God meant by sending Jesus to the earth. It was never about going to heaven. It was all about restoring the sons of God in this earth and giving them their inheritances. Jesus took away our sins so that we could be restored as the sons of God in power. Now, also, Jesus told us to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven. So our parentage has changed. Our heritage has changed because we have a Father now in heaven. He also told us to pray, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now think about it. How else can this be done except that we see what as God sees and we speak what God speaks for our lives in this earth? This is what it means to be a son of God. But every son knows who his father is, and that's what we're going to talk about today. If Adam had never sinned, we'd all know God as our father. Enjoy. And your dad that you haven't seen for 30 years may show up, may try to give you some, I don't know you. I'm not going to take that. I don't know you. You're a stranger to me. Okay? So that is because you don't recognize that person as your father because you were not in relationship with him. Hallelujah. And that's what it is with God. He has children who don't recognize him because they're not in relationship with him. So if you're not in relationship with him, you may be entitled to inheritance, but you won't see it. That was a quick review. Now let us dive right into today's message as we learn what it means to know God as Father. Again, Jesus died so that we could get back to the place where God had us in his heart, in his mind before the foundation of the world, which was that we would be the sons of God, walking according to our Father, our Heavenly Father's will in this earth and ruling on this earth like he rules in heaven. And that's the plan. That was always the plan. So as I said last time, the Lord said he's always been looking. That's what he said the purpose of the Bible was. He's always been looking for a family in which he could give an inheritance. And that's what he said. So that's what he's trying to do. Now, to get that inheritance, you have to recognize him as Father. This is key. It was like anything. You may have an inheritance, but if you can't prove that this is your parentage, that you are in line for the heritage, you can't get it. And so the key point is you have to recognize it. God recognizes who we are, but we have to recognize who he is in order to receive. Man, it would make sense. If somebody has a gift for you and they have your name on it, but you don't know that they have a gift for you, but you don't know them, you might be hesitant to receive from somebody you don't know. And what are they going to do? They're going to say, well, okay, you don't want it. Well, I don't know you. You don't want this. No, I don't know you. Then I'll take it back. And for many of us, that's how it's been with natural parents. You may have been in a marriage split where your father was one direction, your mother was somewhere else. You may have been with your mom. Then your dad that you haven't seen for 30 years may show up, may try to give you some. I don't know you. I'm not going to take that. I don't know you. You're a stranger to me. Okay. So that is because you don't recognize that person as your father because you were not in relationship with him. Hallelujah. And that's what it is with God. He has children who don't recognize him because they're not in relationship with him. So if you're not in relationship with him, you may be entitled to inheritance, but you won't see it. And so that's the whole reason. Again, Jesus came and he was speaking in his ministry about God being Father. And what happened? The religious people freaked out. They're like, who is he talking about God as his father? That's why they crucified him, because he said he was the son of God. Well, it amazes me when I read that, because and we got the Bible. We have the benefit of the Bible. But if you go back to the story of Moses in the time of Exodus, where he told Pharaoh, Moses told Pharaoh, if you don't let my son go, I'm going to kill your firstborn. So he said, Israel is my firstborn. They're my sons. So if you don't let my son go, I'm going to kill your firstborn sons. And so that is written in Jewish history. So I'm thinking, how could these Jewish leaders at Jesus' time not really recognize if Moses called the whole Israel people the sons of God, why would they have a problem with Jesus being called, coming, calling himself the son of God? But they thought God has no sons. I mean, read your book. You know, in the scripture, in Psalm, it talks about that we are sons of God who have the word of God. So there's a lot of things here that a lot of people with their head may not understand, but the heart does. And I think that's one of the things that I remember saying last time, that once you get into the body of Christ, that you are a new person and a new family. You have a new bloodline, which is Jesus Christ is now your big brother. You have a new parentage. You have a new heritage. Now, your head may not understand that, but the heart does. Then Romans chapter 8 says that that's when our hearts will speak. Our spirits will speak and cry, Abba, Father. That's how you know. When your heart starts crying out, Abba, Father, then that means you know he is God and he is your father. And that's a big bridge. And my experience when I went through it, it was difficult because I didn't have a good relationship with my father. And what happened was, and some of you may have heard me say this. I remember being in a church, the first church I attended when I was in LA, and people were singing praise and worship. And like, Daddy, Abba, 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 Daddy. And I was like, Abba, Daddy is God. What are you talking about, Abba, Daddy? Again, that was my mindset because one, I was not filled with the Spirit of God. Okay. I was not operating in that vein at all. So I did not have that concept as him a father. Now, and I should have, but I wasn't quite there yet. So when I kept hearing it, it bothered me because they would call him Daddy. They would call him Baba. I'm like, wait a minute, Daddy. I'm thinking that didn't sit right with me. And it wasn't until I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And for those of you who aren't filled, you can receive today. Because it's the Spirit of God that comes to live in you when you're saved, okay? But he's in there, I don't want to say captive, but he is captive by other things that are going on in your heart, your relationship with other people, your relationship with your dad. You may be one of these people that don't believe in spiritual things because I see it, I believe it. But the Bible says, no, you walk by faith, not by sight. So there's a lot of things, history, pain, sufferings, they can block out the Spirit of God that's in you. So that's one of the reasons we have to say, I receive the Holy Spirit. And it's, then you will know, because the Holy Spirit, you get that rumbling in your tummy all the way up. This is real. You get that sensation and you'll feel it in your heart. Your heart will start fluttering and jumping at the Word of God. Why? Because you're alive with the Spirit of God. And you will say, Daddy, that's what the Spirit is saying. This is my word to my daddy. So right now, I'm going to take this time now. If you don't know the Holy Spirit, if you're not saved today, just receive Jesus Christ. Jesus, come into my heart. Take my life. Do something with it. You know where I've been. You know what I've done. I repent. But I want you to be the Lord of my life. Now fill me with your Spirit. Holy Spirit, I give you complete control. I give you complete control right now, Holy Spirit, to do the Father's will through me. Teach me. You're the teacher. Show me. Lead me the way to what the Father has for me in Jesus' name. And then the evidence you have usually, sometimes not right away, but the evidence that you have the Holy Spirit is you'll begin to speak in tongues. Now, open your mouth. Just speak and let the Spirit just flow out of you because he's speaking through you. Okay, it's not you. He's speaking through your spirit. Pass your mind. So you can just go. And just free up your spirit. Just release. Just release. Because he's in there. If you're saved, he's in there. You just got to release and let it flow. Now for me, when I first got filled with the Holy Spirit, it was a challenge. Why? Because I knew scriptures. I was studying the scriptures. So by the time I got there, I'm like, well, what does it mean to be a witness? Because they will say, you know, take to Acts chapter 1. We'll talk about how Jesus told the disciples to tarry and wait for the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, what do you mean? And then you could be a witness. And I'm like, what does it mean to be a witness? Because at the time, I was having visions and dreams and out-of-body experiences with the Lord. I knew Jesus was there, but I didn't have that kind of, I didn't understand the Holy Spirit, and he wasn't free to operate through me the way he should have. So I was confused. So when I was ministered to release the Holy Spirit, I received it by faith. I knew he was in there, but I didn't release him right away because I had too many questions in my head about how is this going to work? And so it wasn't until the next morning. It was a Monday morning. I got up and got a cup of coffee and was getting ready to read my book, my Bible. And that's what was my routine, get my cup of coffee and sit and read my Bible. So I was reading, and all of a sudden, a praise came over. I'm like, hallelujah, thank you. And it was like bubbles. And I was saying, hallelujah, thank you, good morning. And it just started. And next thing I know, I was speaking in tongues. So
it's a relationship, though. And what happened to me that opened the door is I invited the Holy Spirit. I'm here, got my cup of coffee. Let's read the Bible. Thank you, Lord. I start praising God. So just to know, it is the Spirit that bears witness with your spirit that you are a son of God, that he's your father. Let's go to that scripture real quick. It's Romans chapter 8. I bet you didn't expect us to start this way, did you? Well, neither did I. Neither did I. Because I had other scriptures I was going to be focusing. But let's go to Romans chapter 8 first, because this will explain what I'm talking about in more detail. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Do you want to start there? Yeah, 14. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Okay? So again, you have to have a leading. How can you have the leading? Only by the Holy Ghost. This is not a mind leading. This is the Spirit leading you. That's how you know you're a son. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. And I remember before I had received, I had a conversation with the Lord. No, actually, I think it was shortly after I received, I had a conversation with the Lord. Why wasn't this thing automatic? And why was it people rejecting the Holy Spirit? Because I grew up in a Baptist church where they didn't believe in this. And some people talk really bad about speaking in tongues and receiving the Holy Ghost. Even though they knew it was in the book, their minds were trying to figure out. And some of them said it was of the devil, it wasn't of God. But it's in the Bible. These are the gifts. Every church I've ever dealt with anywhere around the world, this is what they went by, and they all spoke in tongues. So just know, it is the will of God for our lives. And I remember the Lord said to me something very, very serious. He says, Jesus could not survive without the Holy Spirit. And he said, but what makes my people think they can? Okay, we saw the miracles Jesus did. We saw the things he did. We saw his relationship with the Father. But yet we want to be Jesus, like Jesus, without the Spirit. That's not possible, because Jesus had the Spirit. And it tells us that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that's in us. So if that Spirit can raise people from the dead, it can raise you from anything you're going through. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. It's our empowerment, so that we can do signs, wonders, and miracles like Jesus did, so people know that Jesus was real, that he actually came. And that's the whole reason. But let's go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Make sure I got on here. You can hear me okay? For as many are led by this as are led by the sons of God, or Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We read that, verse 14. 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy. Okay, so we have that within us. And it says in verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Again, that's how you will know. That's how you will know. Your spirit will react to God like a child, like, this is my daddy.
Before I leave you today, I would like to read a prophetic word that was written some time ago, but it was read in that particular video that we're highlighting today. It is entitled, Knowing God as Father. Here's how it reads. Jesus came to restore our relationship as sons and daughters of God, the Father of the living, of life itself. He wants sons and daughters to receive their inheritances and fulfill his, the Father's, will in the earth. Abba, Daddy, Father, is looking for heirs in the earth, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, heirs to everything in this world, in heaven, and in the worlds to come. Abba needs sons. Our Father, which art in heaven. For the believer, our Father is in heaven. Earthly fathers are mere vessels to transport us into earth's atmosphere. But the real, true Father of all spirits is God, the Father. Jesus came to restore us back to the Heavenly Father. He was sown as a seed, sown in the earth, so God the Father could reap a harvest of sons in this earth. He had to come and die. The seed has to die in order to produce fruit in the earth. We, the sons and daughters of God, are the Heavenly Father's fruit trees in the earth. He desires that we bear much fruit. He planted us to bear much fruit that remains. We are the trees of his planting. Jesus was planted first. He is the vine that we are attached to. We must remain closely attached to the vine in order to produce the Heavenly Father's fruit. Our lives are sustained through the vine. Our provision is sustained from the vine. Without him, we can do nothing. We must stay connected if we want to live. We must hear his voice. We must obey his voice in all things. Without his voice, we would be lost in the world. His words are life that feeds our spirits. This is the bread of life. You must hear his voice if you want to live and bear the Father's fruit. His voice will be the light in the darkness of this world. As you follow, obey the light, you will produce fruit. Go not your own way. Follow the light of his word and fruit will appear. As the word of God says, seek first the kingdom of God, seek his way and follow it. Then all things will follow you. And that is the prophetic word. Now, if you enjoyed this episode and want to learn more, check out the link in our description box for this particular YouTube video. And also join us Sunday mornings for In Pursuit of Divine Destiny with Paula Matthews. We're live every Sunday morning at 11:30 Eastern Standard Time. Subscribe to this podcast channel and to our YouTube channel so you don't miss out on what God is saying and doing in this marvelous season. This has been Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. Until next time.